At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do you often feel overwhelmed by all the different complicated systems everyone wants you to implement? Let's keep it simple and get you started on the right foot in today's episode. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where money is made simple. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, we have Alan Lazarus, who is all about systems and habit tracking. He brings with him years of coaching experience and trying things out for himself. He has some great tips to provide each of you listening today. But I think one thing that I can tell you now is that it's so powerful just to keep things simple and try your hardest not to overcomplicate things. Because when we make things complicated, we make it so easy to get lost and frustrated by the situation. Think about the last time you found yourself in a complicated situation. It's very tricky to stay on top of everything. You're trying to juggle everything at once. So if we do the same thing with our finances, it can be really hard to balance what we want to do with what's really going on in our world. So let that be your main takeaway from today's episode. Keep it simple. The money talking points for today's episode are: what area of your finances could benefit from a simple system? And two, what commitment devices can you use to help your finances? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Alan Lazarus, and I'm excited for this conversation. We're going to talk keeping it simple, building systems, how you can keep it simple, tracking expenses and such. Alan, would you introduce yourself for everyone?
Yeah. So my name is Alan Lazarus. Thank you again for having me. I started listening to podcasts 9 years ago, and they really helped me reorient my life. So I'm very appreciative to be here. Number one. Number two, I respect and admire what you're doing, trying to help people create abundance and money in their life. And I'm grateful to be a part of it. As far as introducing myself, I've evolved quite a bit. I'm 35 now. I playfully joke, I say I'm hoping to hit puberty at 36 because I look 12 for those of you who are on video. But ultimately, what I am now, even though this has been a long evolution, is I have a computer engineering background. I have a master's in business. And then I went down the coaching road after corporate. And now I do business coaching, I do training, and I do podcasting. I also do some speaking and some writing as well, but it's mostly self-improvement space stuff. And that's the shortest possible intro I think I could probably give.
I guess just one of the thoughts that came to my mind is high level in all the different areas you've been in. What is some of the value of simplicity? I know it's something we were talking about before recording. How does simplicity help across the board?
I actually think that life has gotten obnoxiously complex in the 21st century. I'm 35, so I grew up when the very first video games that were massive multiplayer online games, similar to like Diablo 2, that kind of stuff. I'm dating myself quite a bit with that. But ultimately, some of my best friends in high school were actually global, which is wild. And so the cool part about that is that you and I can do this from our home offices, from across the world, potentially. And we get to build these online businesses, and that's really great. I have a 22-person team. Most of them I haven't even met in person, which is wild to think about. But the downside of that is that life has gotten exponentially more complex because we have 5.44 billion people on the internet. That's increasing now that Skylink is out there. And there's 8 billion people on the planet now. And so it's become an extremely, extremely, extremely complex world. And I think that when it comes to money and fitness and health and wealth and relationships, if you want to be effective, you have to try to be simple because and focus on the simple fundamentals that actually work, because otherwise you'll be spread too thin trying to be good at everything and not great at anything.
Yeah, I love it. That was initially what came to my mind. I like the idea. Keep it simple because things get too complicated, then we get confused and lost. But let's dive into a little bit of the money aspect, and maybe one of the things that maybe seems overwhelming, seems like it could be super complicated, but why is it important to track our expenses?
Yeah, so I'm the CFO of the company. So I'm CEO/CFO. So chief executive officer/chief financial officer for those of you who aren't business owners. But ultimately, Kevin, my business partner, he was the CFO for a long time. And I became CFO probably 6 or 7 months ago. And so he tracked the finances every single day for 3 or 4 years. We've been in business for 7 years and I've tracked every single day. So I have two little simple sheets, and this isn't necessarily the way you have to do it, but this is the way that I do it. So one is called GBD. It's called gross breakdown, which is just the breakdown of where your income is coming. Okay. Whether it's personal or business. And then I have EBD, expense breakdown. So each day I do 20 minutes a day of finance. So for me, I have a big five, right? So I do 20 minutes of WhatsApp and email, 20 minutes of finance, 20 minutes of sales, 10 minutes of mobility, and then 40 minutes of exercise. But the 20 minutes of finance, I look at where we made our money that day, what money came in and from where, and then I look at what did we spend and where did it go? And that's the importance of that is essentially it's kind of like a GPS. If the GPS has the wrong terrain, you're going to drive into a cliff or off a cliff or into a mountain and then think something's wrong, when in reality, you just don't have the data. So you can't make effective decisions without accurate data. And ultimately, the only way to have accurate data is to look each day, because all of us have overused credit cards at times, or, you know, you're on vacation, it's buy this, buy this, buy this. And then all of a sudden you get home, or the holidays is a good example. You know, all of a sudden in December, you have a big month. And then by January 1st, you have these New Year's resolutions, but you don't have any money because you were so generous, which is so wonderful, but also detrimental. And so a lot of people on January 1st actually start the year off demoralized because of how much they spent, you know, during the holidays.
Yeah. And I do think maybe there's someone listening that's like, that sounds great, but maybe it's a little overwhelming at first, like your 5-point system. How does someone get started simply tracking their expenses?
So I have 26 clients that I work with, all business owners, and anywhere from 16 years old all the way to, you know, 63 years old. And from, hey, I want to start a YouTube channel, all the way to I'm already a multimillionaire type of thing. So all different walks of life, all different countries. The thing that I have people start with, the first step, track your spending. Just start with tracking your spending, because if you can get a hold of that, that's the first step. And there's really only three things, I think, in this simple equation. And you, in your intro, you mentioned it's math, but it's more than math because it's also psychology. But ultimately, there's how much money can you earn? And there's a lot of cool ways to earn money nowadays. You can do Uber Eats. There's a lot of side hustles. You can walk dogs. There's apps now that allow you to do these things. You can be a housekeeper, whatever you need to do for extra capital. You can cook for people, all kinds of cool stuff. And then there's a lot of stuff, freelance stuff online you can do. So earn money, earn more is number one. Number two is spend less. And then number three is invest the difference intelligently. The third one typically is more scary for a beginner. So what you want to do is focus on earning more and spending less. And if I were to say, what's the place to start if you haven't ever done any of this, it would be track your spending. One of the habits, all my clients habit track. And one of the habits is no unnecessary spending. And if they didn't spend anything unnecessarily, they get a check mark and they say, yes, okay, that was a good effective day. If they bought that thing on Amazon that they, crap, I really didn't need that, then they get a zero. So it's a zero or a one in the spreadsheet. But ultimately tracking your spending, I think, is the place to start.
Yeah, I love that. I say that often too. Like, so many people jump to, you need to budget, you need to figure out where your income's going. But if you don't actually know where you're spending the money, how are you going to know where to put it? Like, you're just not going to be realistic. Then you're going to be hard on yourself, because so often in budgeting, people are like, oh, I'll spend $20 on eating out, and they don't realize how much they actually spend there.
Yes.
So that's why it's key to start with tracking. I love that. Love that idea. Once that tracking is in place, how does the system help people? Like, once you figure that out, where do they go from here? How does it help?
Well, so I try to tell my clients this too, because ultimately, what is it that I'm doing? Number one, someone's in your corner. That's great for support. But this is my mental framework. And it took me 7 years of coaching to kind of figure this out, honestly. The best way to describe this is video games. So for anyone out there who's ever played a video game or sports, we'll do video games or sports. Imagine playing basketball where there's no score. There's no metrics. There's no statistics. There's no assists, no rebounds, no 3-point shots, no 1-point shots. It would be just people running around with a ball. There would be no point. And so the analogy that I use is, I used to play a game called Call of Duty, and I had there's something called a kill to death ratio in that first person shooter game. Okay. So imagine a first person shooter and you're trying to get a higher kill to death ratio. It means you need to get more kills than you do deaths. a lot of my friends would just go for most kills. I wanted to have a higher kill to death ratio. So what you track changes the way you play the game. I had to play far more strategically because I was going for a different metric. And so I tell my clients that what you track dictates where you put your time and effort. Where you put your time and effort dictates the results you get. And that's the simplest possible way that I can think of it is if you start tracking your spending and you really do consistently track it, you will start spending differently. You just will. That's the human condition. What we focus on, we feel, and what we feel changes what we do. And what we do dictates the results and the outcomes that we get in life. So the first step really is tracking, and that's the thing that's upstream that leads to the benefits downstream.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to put it. And I love the video game reference that hits close to home. So that's a good one. Nice.
Okay,
but
cool.
It makes sense that if you're tracking it, that's the only way you're going to make those changes. And they're going to naturally happen. Have you seen that happen with maybe some of your clients where they are maybe a little skeptical, but as soon as you start tracking, things line up?
You know what's fascinating? My goal in life, one of my sneaky goals, for lack of better phrasing, and when I say sneaky, I'm just embarrassed to share it because I'm scared, but I would like to eventually get more people habit tracking than anyone in history. And it's kind of a bold statement, so people think I'm arrogant, whatever. The point is I have hundreds of people at this point that are habit tracking, and we have a little habit tracking app and all stuff. It's actually kind of down right now, so don't ask me about it. But okay. The point is we all use Google Sheets and we all have a little system of success. We call it peak performance tracking. And my clients, when they first come to me, they're very skeptical. Because I in the beginning, I didn't do this. I needed clients. So I just dealt with people who didn't want to track habits. Now I actually say, I don't really want to coach you. I've been coaching for a long time now. I'm coming up on my 8,000th hour of podcasting, speaking, coaching, training, and writing. And I don't want to coach you unless you're going to track. And the reason why is I don't feel like I can succeed at my job, which is helping you be more successful, unless you are willing to track. And so when they first come to me, they see my spreadsheet. And my spreadsheet has 7 metrics and 22 habits. And they're seeing where I am now, but they're not seeing where I started, which was this little notebooks that I used to carry around where I had, you know, meditation and 30 minutes of exercise that I used to check off. And so they're very skeptical at first because it looks overwhelming and it looks caging and it looks like too much structure. Then, and so at the beginning, it's, why would anyone ever do that? Eventually, years in, they say, I can't believe I didn't track. I can't believe I used to wing it. I can't believe I used to just not track my actions or my habits. So habit tracking is one of those weird things where the people who do it long enough, they get hooked on it and they can't imagine a world where they don't. But in the beginning, there's a lot of, I would never do that. I don't want to do that. And so my business partner, Kevy, came to me once. He had 5 habits that he started tracking. And at the beginning, he didn't want to do it at all. And now he swears by it. I mean, now he has 20 habits plus, and he's been tracking habits for years, and now he's more successful. And so in the beginning, it's usually met with skepticism. A couple months in, when you start feeling momentum, because all habit tracking really is I'm going to keep the small promises I make to myself.
Yeah.
That's all it is. If you had a friend who broke as many promises to you as you've broken to yourself, how much would you value that friendship? You wouldn't. So if you want self-esteem and self-worth, you have to keep the promises you make to yourself. And that means doing the small things each day that really are going to lead to your goals and dreams. Yeah.
I think so many times we just look at the end goal we want, and then we don't take the steps to get there that are kind of more realistic, like tracking. Is a great one, for example, if you just start taking those steps to track the in between where I want to be and where I am, and you figure out the things that you need to track between there, that's how you can almost make the change more natural. Like you're saying, it's going to just begin to come. You're just going to begin to see the different places you can save your money. But is it difficult to implement these systems? Is it hard to get going?
So we have a group coaching program that we do every quarter. This is our 15th group, all groups of 10. And we start with 3 habits. So we set 3 goals. There's 6 sessions. It's a 12-week bi-weekly program. Mm-hmm. And we start with only 3 habits. We used to, way back when we were naive, we used to start with 12. And people were falling off and nobody did it and all that stuff. So I'd rather you start really small and build than try to... It's kind of like why New Year's resolutions don't work is you shoot for this huge goal and then you stumble. when in reality, if you actually started small and then built, you'd be pleasantly surprised with how far you came. So the yes, it's difficult to implement, but if you start small, it isn't. So you can start with one habit. I had someone reach out yesterday. Her name's Caitlin. She's in group coaching, and she reached out in WhatsApp and she said, "Hey, I'm having a really hard time staying consistent. Do you have any advice?" That was literally her question. And I said, you could try what's called a commitment device. Have you ever heard of a commitment device?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. A commitment device is human beings. There's a cognitive bias called pain of avoidance. And essentially we'll do more to avoid pain than we will to gain. It's almost like if someone were to come to your house and steal $100, you would do anything to you'd call the cops and it would be a whole thing. But yet you could easily go make $100 and you don't put that much effort into it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's just human nature, right? That's human nature. So the commitment device brings the pain in advance. So I have a client, his name's Cole. I said, I'm going to charge you twice for this session. And that's going to pay for your next session if you track all your habits. So if you keep the promise to yourself and keep the promise to me, it will pay for your next session. You don't lose the money. If you can't stay consistent and you don't track, that money goes. He has been 100% consistent. And then every single week, because he's a weekly client, he says, I say, do you want this? Do you want the commitment device to pay for your session? He says, no, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. So I keep charging him. And so I still keep that little deposit. This is why people ask for a deposit. When a venue, when you go to have a wedding, a venue asks for a deposit because it's a commitment device. It's saying, listen, I'm going to hold this venue for you, but you're going to lose this money if you don't follow through with this wedding, or you don't follow through with this marathon, or you don't follow through with this, whatever it is. And so commitment devices are a really good way to hold ourselves accountable because we don't want to lose. We'll do more not to lose than we will to win. It's just human nature.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And once you recognize it, there's so many things that different guests keep coming on here and explaining. And just once you recognize it, then you're able to implement it just in little small ways into your life. And that's how you can really get that ball rolling for you. Another thought that I had is maybe people feel worried about implementing too many systems. Maybe it takes out the free flow nature of life, or just the creativity maybe a little bit. Does building all these systems turn us into robots, so to speak?
No, not at all. So it can. I had one client who went too far with it. He had like 45 habits a day. And I said, brother, that's not doing it. And by the way, if you have 45 habits, you're obviously not focused on the important ones enough, because there's not 45 important things every day that needs to happen, right? So it is possible to have it go too far. But I mean, I've been helping people track habits for 7 years, and I've seen it go too far once, maybe twice. Yeah. And here's what you do. You can always dial it back. So if you have 12 habits and you feel caged and you feel like you're on a mouse wheel of your own making and you're on the treadmill and it's speeding up, you can always just turn down the treadmill. But don't get off the treadmill completely. You just redesign the treadmill, right? A lot of people don't want life to feel like a treadmill. They don't want it to feel like a race. They don't want it to feel challenging. But the truth of the matter is no matter what your goals are, there's going to be some level of monotony. There's going to be some level of boring, and it's much better than being broke. Right. It's much better than getting divorced. It's much better than going bankrupt. And so to me, I try to say this. I say, Alan, okay, it all goes to zero at midnight. You wake up in the morning. I want you to play like you're poor. I want you to work like you're poor. And if you work like you're poor and you track like you're poor and you stay level 10 humble, you will actually be wealthy. And not wealthy in some yacht or billionaire thing. I mean wealthy in terms of I will have more money than that comes in than goes out. And that's ultimately what wealth is. It's having more that comes in than goes out. And same with health, having more energy than what you spend. It's in abundance. And so some months are down, some months are up, but ultimately, as long as you're in the green more times than you're in the red, you are on your way to a wealthier, healthier, less scarce life. Yeah. But ironically and paradoxically, the only way to do that is to cage yourself a little bit with these disciplines.
Yeah, I like that. You build the boundaries that'll direct you to where you want to go, and then you can live freely within them. Like you can, like who cares where you're spending your money if your tracking is in line and you're making more than you're spending, sort of thing. Like then go and have some freedom and fun.
Yep, exactly. But if you're not tracking it and you're not in line and you're not making more than you're spending, the freedom and fun goes very quickly. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can't experience it and you're frustrated. You feel like you're not doing well with money, but.
And then you shame yourself. Mm-hmm.
And it just devolves. But if you can set up a little bit of these boundaries that we're talking about, and I know it can seem difficult at the beginning, but if you, like you said, just start simple, start small. And that was on a previous episode, I talked about rules of thumb because there's so many different ones that we're constantly being told to follow and things like that. And that guest suggested just choose one and stick to it. So like, yeah. if that's what you need to get started, just pick one little area and stick to it for a little while and see the change come in your life.
And then when you master that one, here's when you know it becomes a habit. When you get to a place where it's harder not to do it than it is to do it, mm-hmm. that's yeah. when it's a habit. And when you get to that place, now you can go to the next one. And then you can go to the next one. And then you can go to the next one. What I don't want anyone to do is try to do four at once and then mm-hmm. fail and then shame yourself for it and then say, hey, this doesn't work. Because ultimately, yeah. it does work. You just didn't do it and you tried too much too quickly. And I think it takes humility to start small. Mm-hmm. I think humility really is does. Where, right? Because if you start the year with humility, you say, you know what? I'm not going to try to set the world on fire. I'm not going to try to go to the gym 6 days a week for 2 hours at a time. I'm going to do a half an hour a day and walking counts. You'll be more consistent and then you'll build more belief. And that's what Emilia and I did. My girlfriend and I, we started really small and we've been exercising consistently, but you better believe we never could have done it if we were trying to do 2 hours a day.
Yeah. And same goes for your money, that if you're trying to invest $2,000 a month, but you really don't know where that money's going to come from, you're going to then feel like, I can't invest money. It's just not for me. I'm just going to work forever and hope Social Security's there. So that's yeah. why if you start small, start with $50 being invested and slowly grow that, it's going to make it a whole lot easier on you.
I have a client, his name's Matt, and I'm so proud of him. He's an AP calculus teacher and he's a multimillionaire, and I'll keep it anonymous. I always use first names only. But he saves $20 at a time, even though he already owns 6 properties and he makes almost 6 figures as an AP calc teacher. He's in his mid late 30s. He has 2 kids. It's so cool to see someone who's already quote unquote wealthy still saving $20 at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's like, that's why he's wealthy, because he mm-hmm. started doing that and just never stopped. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it compounds pretty quickly. Well, I guess I shouldn't say quickly, but over the years it does mm-hmm. compound when you have these little habits that you stick with. So I find it fascinating how there's people that have very little money that spend constantly on these big things. They don't save. And then I have him who's already wealthy, who's still saving $20 at a time and putting it in a separate account. You know, yeah. It's an indicator, right? So.
Well, it's that you mastered this one habit. It's harder for him to probably stop that. That he's like, how do I even cancel that auto payment? It yeah. just keeps running in the background and he's mastered it because
yeah, exactly.
that's what he's grown on. What yeah. are some maybe other financial systems that people can look at and potentially implement? Do you have any other that come to mind as we're wrapping up here?
Yeah. Well, so in the effort of keeping it simple, I think I started out of the gate a little bit complex with the GBD and EBD. GBD was gross breakdown. EBD was expense breakdown. And honestly, so our company, we're hoping, and again, we're projected for potentially $500,000 this year, in gross, we're not keeping all that. I need to say that, but the low end would be 400,000. The high end would be $500,000. We did not start there. We bootstrapped and we started from zero. I mean, we made no money the first year. We've been in business for 7 years. So expenses get really high when you're running a business and you have a big team. So I didn't want to complexify it, but what I do for my clients that have smaller businesses is a simple spreadsheet. You can do this Google Sheets. You can do this for free. Okay. Go into Google Sheets, create 4 columns. Okay. The first one's the date. Okay. So 4 columns, the first one's the date. Then you do 1 column is total in, which is gross in. Then you do cash on hand and then you do total out, which is expenses out. Okay. If you have money coming in, I think of it like the aqueducts in Rome. I'm kind of a nerd. All right. You think of the water's coming down from the mountains and it's pooling in the cash on hand. And then where is the money going? Mm. And what fruit, strawberries and blueberries and farming and whatever, right? So the idea is not don't spend or don't earn. Or the idea is start getting an awareness and start tracking. Where's your money coming from? Where is it pooling? How much is pooling? How much cash available do you have? And then where are you putting it? And that includes investments, that includes home, that includes, you know, food and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what came in day to day, what came in, what pooled, and then, or how much do you have in your bank account? And then where did it go? And that, if you were to do just that one habit, I can almost guarantee, I can guarantee you'll be better off. No one can guarantee you're going to be a multimillionaire. No one can guarantee you're going to be a billionaire. But we can guarantee if you actually do that habit and stick with it, you'll definitely be better off because you'll just make better money choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you stick to that habit for a little while, you're going to probably see a few days where there's nothing going out, because in personal finances, there's not as much money moving around as business. But yep. You might see a couple of days where you're like, wow, go me. I didn't spend any money for 3 or 4 days, when you never realized you could accomplish things like that before. So just by tracking it, you're going to begin to see, oh, here's where I need to clean it up a little bit. Here's where I'm already doing well, and that can motivate you. There's a whole lot of great things that come from that. So thanks for sharing that little short, simple system that someone can go and implement right after this episode. So
you're so very welcome.
Yes. As we're coming to the end here, got a couple questions. The first one's going to be, how can people find you online? And then the second one, to give you a second to think about it, is what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money? But first, how can people find you online?
So you can find me online. We have a website called nextleveluniverse.com, spelled just like it sounds. We have a podcast called Next Level University, spelled just like it sounds. We do an episode a day, every day, 1% improvement, holistic self-improvement, health, wealth, life, and love. Mentors in your pocket every day from anywhere on the planet, completely free. And it's, the idea is just get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then nextleveluniverse.com is the website where we have meetups and a book club. And we've, like we mentioned, the app, which is currently down. So I'm not going to mention the app. But like, we have a bunch of other things that help people get on track and stay on track. Coaching, awesome, and podcasting, all kinds of stuff. Okay. As for the second question, what's the piece of advice?
Yeah. What would you tell yourself 10, 15 years ago about money?
What I would tell myself is, most of the people in your life, and this might not apply to other people listening, I don't know, but most of the people in your life don't really know much about money, and they try to act like they do. Yeah. They try to act like they do. And so I grew up in an environment that was a lot of people acting like they knew it all, when in reality they knew very little. And there was very little humility, from my perspective, in terms of the people I was around growing up. And so I think humility, what I would tell my younger self is, Alan, humility is a superpower. You already believe in yourself. Okay. And if you believe in yourself at level 10, you need level 10 humility in the other direction in order to stay centered. And, and it takes humility to track, because people who don't have humility think they can wing it and still win. And that would have been my problem. So if you want to stay on track, you have to track. That's what I would tell myself. And I would say, Alan, humility is a superpower. You just don't know it yet. And it's going to take a lot of pain and suffering for you to get the humility that you need to actually go succeed.
Awesome. That's fantastic. That was a couple of great pieces of advice that anyone listening that's younger than us can kind of start implementing those small things and get them going in the right direction. So Alan, thank you so much for joining. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you for having me. It has been a great conversation, and keep doing what you're doing, because quite frankly, a lot of pain and suffering will be solved. And there'll be a lot more fulfilled people who learn these things young, because I think fulfilled people don't hurt people. And if you don't have abundance in your finances and in your life, it's very hard to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So keep doing the work you're doing. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. And it's very clear. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you everyone for listening, and go have a money talk based on what you heard today. Thank you so much to Alan for coming on today's episode. How are you going to be impacted by this episode? Well, ultimately, it's up to you. And one of the greatest ways to find impact from any of these episodes is to share with a friend and have a money talk about the episode. But one of the main takeaways, and you'll hear me say this all the time, is start tracking things before you start changing things. It makes it so much easier to figure out what you want to do, figure out how you need to change, especially when it comes to money. It can be so hard to budget, but that's because you don't know what you're budgeting for or with, because you may not be tracking your income or expenses. It's like throwing darts blindfolded and then being frustrated that you didn't hit anything or that your score wasn't that great. So stop throwing blindfolded darts at your budget and start tracking so that you know that scoreboard. Like Alan said, the example about sports without stats or scores, what's the point? What's the point of a budget if there's no stats or scores? You need to be keeping track of those numbers. So start tracking today. That will have the biggest impact on you. And remember that with any of your habits that you're trying to track, it becomes a true habit when it's harder to not do it than it is to do it. So start tracking today, and that's how you're really going to feel the big impact on your life. But let's talk about the money talking points. The first money talking point is what area of your finances could benefit from a simple system. And I honestly need to get a better, simpler system for tracking our investments. I'm writing down numbers in too many different places. I have a pretty bare bones one, but it's easy for me to lose track of what we're trying to do. And then it confuses me later down the road when the numbers are slightly off and I forgot to log one little thing. So maybe building out a better, simpler system, I think it could prove very beneficial for our long-term financial goals. What about you? What areas of your finances could use a simple system? Could tracking expenses use a simple system? Could tracking your income, tracking your budget, tracking your credit card rewards, maybe staying on top of your credit card debt could use a simple system to help you get motivated and get going towards paying off all your debt? What about tracking your different bank accounts? Have you found yourself after the last couple years with a bunch of different accounts open all over the place? How are you keeping track of all of that? I would highly recommend keeping it simple and getting rid of a bunch of them and simplifying it down to one or two accounts, but make sure you have some sort of system in place to keep it simple and track it simply, so you know everything is in one place, at least that it's being tracked in one place. The second money talking point is what commitment devices can you use to help with your finances? Like was mentioned in the interview, deposits are a great way that people keep each other committed to things. How can you use a deposit in your own life? What can you do to bring a little bit of pain into your choices to help you stay on track? That's what a commitment device is. Can you send your friends some money as a deposit that they get to keep if you don't meet a certain goal or a habit tracking process? That might really help motivate your friend to help you stay accountable, because maybe they do want to give you your money back, but also I'm sure they'd be happy to keep your money if you don't meet your goal, and there's your bit of pain. Money seems like an easy commitment device, so what are some other ones you can use? Well, you can continue to use money in the form of maybe a locked savings account where you change the password or your friend changes the password, and then you don't know the password and they do, and they tell you later down the road so you can get access to your money. Maybe there's a physical contract you can sign that you need to stay on top of, or else maybe money gets involved. But let's also bring up accountability partners, aka money buddies. I love money buddies. Money buddies are a great way to stay on top of your money, to involve people in your money and helping and having more money talks. It's a great way to stay accountable. Another way to get around commitment devices is to make things automatically happen for you. Maybe it's easier to stay on top of it when you remove the behavior and automate it. So consider how automation might make things happen for you automatically. And also maybe consider limiting access to something. I recently heard on a podcast that people are using timed locked cookie jars and putting your phone in it, or whatever habit you're trying to build. If you put your phone in it because you're trying to stay off your phone as much, and then it only unlocks at specific times, things like that can be a great way to limit your access to something that you're trying to change or do better at. So consider how commitment devices can help you in your finances. But again, thank you to Alan for coming on this episode. Let's wrap it all up next. Keep it simple. You've all heard everybody say this. Simple wins the race. Honestly, if there was a tortoise and a hare, and then there was someone that just kept it simple, someone keeping it simple would probably win by a landslide. Keep everything simple. And thank you to Alan for coming on this episode. I think that was a really great conversation, and I hope you were able to take something away from it, enjoyed it as much as I did. And guess what? I'm going to be in FinCon in about 2 months. I just booked my flight, and so if you're planning on going to FinCon, please reach out and let me know. I'd love to connect with anyone who's there, and I'm actually very excited to go. It's going to be a fun conference to attend. I'm looking to learn more about how to grow my podcast and do better with this whole entire content machine that I'm trying to create. But now we're here at the end, and the time has come for me to ask, as always, for you to share this podcast with a friend and go and have a money talk. The best way to do better with money is to talk about it. So take action on this episode. Take something you learned, share it with a friend, and have a money talk. And remember, you can find my contact information and the website, as well as any other links mentioned in today's episode, in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.